Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Oh, yeah. Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Well, if you're right, don't you? You ain't got a chance. Make that old pig and then there's. Can't get the fish line and in the water.
Welcome. Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the lovely Miss Jean Sidar, and we're going to have a lot of fun, Jean. It's such a pleasure to have you in here. And
well, you keep playing music like that, and I'll stay for longer.
I noticed you were dancing. Jean is, of course, a very accomplished angler and a lot of fun to have in the studio. Jean, the age of electronics is moving almost at the speed of light, and that's apparently carrying over into the world of fishing and navigation.
Uh-huh.
And we have one of the experts in the field that's going to give us an idea what some of this latest stuff is coming on. We've got Toshambe Moore, who's a regional rails rep for Navionics. And Toshambe, first of all, why don't you start off by giving us an idea of what Navionics does?
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on the show. We create charts, electronic charts for boats. So we manufacture charts that work on Lowrance, Hummingbird, Raymarine, Furuno, so just about every chart plotter manufacturer out there.
Well, I know they work on more than that too, don't they?
Yeah, we make products that work on mobile devices as well. So like the iPhone, the iPad, Droid. So any Android based product as well. And we also have products for PCs. So quite a few different devices we can put our charts on.
So if someone's not carrying their desktop with them on the boat, they can print that out, I assume.
There's definitely a way that you can print out a paper map, or you can, obviously just take your phone on the boat with you. I probably wouldn't get it in the water, but that's an option for you.
Well, let me try and help explain to Jeannie and some of our viewers out there. I had the fortune of spending a day fishing with you on Lake Nacimiento, and you had I believe it was an iPhone with you, and when you look at a contour map of the ocean, you can see the gradations, like in a 500 or 1,000 feet and kind of an idea where they're at. But this thing, it was like within 6 inches.
Wow.
I mean, it would show you, and it was kind of interesting because we were actually looking, at the depth of the water, and then you look down and verify it, and you go, yeah, that's right, it's about 6 feet. And it showed, may not have shown all the little logs and trees in there, but the detail was amazing. How do you come up with that? Where do you get that information from?
Well, we get our data from a lot of different sources, but one of the primary sources is our own survey team. So at one time, we had the largest survey team in the country, and we'd put boats out on the water. So we'd collect all of that data as we're doing the sonar logging on the body of water. So, for instance, that lake that we were on, Nacimiento, was a high-definition lake for us, which means that we have one-foot contours out to 0 to 30 feet. And with our high-definition lakes, we also give you things like satellite imagery, panoramic photos, and a 3D underwater bathymetric view as well.
That is truly amazing. This sounds really expensive.
Well, actually, no, they're really not, especially when you consider what you get with these things. So we have several retailers and dealers that sell our charts throughout the country. And you can get a chart for anywhere from, $50 to $200. So getting into the charts is fairly inexpensive. And if you look on the mobile products, you're talking about anywhere from $10 to $50. So it's fairly inexpensive.
Oh, so you can get an app for your smartphone for less than $50?
Oh, absolutely. On the iPad, it's about $50 or less. And then on the iPhone, it's anywhere from $10 to $15, depending on where you are, on which order. So,
very
yeah.
Cool. And then save those to your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't know, it's hard to ask the question. How many bodies of water do you have accessible?
Well, first of all of our coastal data, you can get charts for marine charts anywhere in the world. For our lake data, we have over 20,000 lakes that we have data for, and about 1,500 to 2,000 of those are high definition.
Wow, that's fabulous, because, I mean, I can just see people now in their kayaks and these things where, you know, a chart is just uncomfortable, you know, doesn't really work out there to pull something
roll it out.
And you can just bring out your phone.
Just like everything else, when you get a printed chart, I would, it may stay reasonably accurate for a reasonable period of time, mm-hmm. but not the detail. And then, of course, as Tashambi said, you're constantly updating.
Yeah, and that's one of the great features of the Navionics charts is that we have something called a community edits. And with the community edits, it allows the community of Navionics, which we have, you know, over 800,000 people that use our mobile products, they can actually edit and update the maps. And we get over 10,000 edits to our charts per week. So we have a lot of stuff that gets added to the charts, whether it's moving a buoy, adding a restaurant, anything like that can be done on the community with the community edits. And that is live and interactive data. So if I was to put something on my iPhone right now, and if you had the application on your phone, in less than 2 minutes, it's going to pop up on your phone. So
it's like a wiki chart.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. That's really what it's all about. It's crowdsourcing.
But,
and
you see, Gina. I've seen it when I was out with Tashambi, but do you actually have a mental picture of what he's talking about, Jeannie?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I can just picture having my phone out there like in a kayak or my float tube if I'm out on Crowley, kicking around in my, you know, and I would have that, and then I can zoom in with my little spreader as long as I don't have a search that's now illegal between Microsoft and all these people of spreading your picture. You know, I can just see how that would work really well to get on a spot and something so compact that, you know, I surf fish a lot. I go out very mobile that I can just take it in a fanny pack or something in your tackle box. Very easy.
So you can actually see where just a little drop off just a couple feet. So you know where to look.
Yeah, that would just be
fish
perfect.
The edges.
Yeah.
Now, did you just mention Lake Crowley?
Yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I have good news and I have bad news.
Okay.
The good news, the bad news is we actually don't have charted data on that.
Will you pay me to go fishing on Lake Crowley and send you information, up to date data in my float tube?
Here's the good news is that we now have a process that allows anybody with a Navionics chart and a sounder, so whether it's Ray Marine, Lowrance, Hummingbird, doesn't really matter, you can record soundings out on any body of water, and within 24 hours, we can generate a map from that.
Oh.
That is fantastic.
Okay, and I know some great guides up there with their boats that take you out, so that would be wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of what Navionics has been able to do in sourcing, you know, the community that we that use our products. They now can record data, and on their favorite lakes like Lake Crowley, they can have data generated for that 1 to 60 foot, 1 foot contours in 24 hours. Which I think is fantastic.
Perfect. I can just see people scrambling in their boats to get up to Crowley now and fish before everything
closes. We're getting close on time. First of all, let's get some information from Tashambi about how we can get more information on Navionics and where you can get it.
Well, if you want information on Navionics, you can go to navionics.com. And there's a great viewer now that we have on our website that allows you to see exactly what the Navionics charts look like anywhere in the world.
And I assume that you've got many retailers that you can go to purchase this, or do you go online?
Absolutely. Well, you can go online. You can go to any of the big box retailers like Bass Pro, Cabela's, West Marine, and several dealers throughout the country as well.
And it's Navionics.com.
Yeah, and with an N, like in navigate, so it doesn't sound like on the radio as avionics.
Okay. Tashambi, thank you very much. We're going to have to go.
Thanks.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hannigan with Gene Sedar, and thank you, Tashambi. We'll be back momentarily.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at Costa Baja Resort.
Brand new motor and boat with a bunch of fancy gear, Craig takes you north and lures. Every style, type, and size, if you think that'll help, you're in for a surprise, cause money can't buy skill, you know the guys and me, we can catch them at will against Shadrath. You ain't no match, fish are just something that you can't catch.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. I was going to say with the lovely Jean Cedar, but I call her the crazy Jean Cedar.
The rocking Jean Cedar. Come on.
She was rocking out the music, and she was doing this fish face, and I go, what's that? She goes, "That's I'm doing fish talk."
Well, of course.
Okay. Hey. And we do have Chucky Van Wormer on the line,
We're
going to find out what's happening this year and maybe some more up-to-date stuff on Van Wormer Resorts down in the East Cape of Baja, California. Sir, Chucky, what a pleasure to have you.
Hey, pleasure to be with you, also, John Ho. Well, down here after a few days of rain and kind of like a little small tropical storm. It never got into a hurricane stage or anything. It went into the Gulf. Had a lot of rain. Everything calmed down. Beautiful days now, John. Flat like a lake. Are starting to come over. And after a few days that we didn't fish, things are getting much, much better. Before the rain, of course, fishing was kind of inshore close to the Ribera, Dorado, sailfish, striped marlin. Of course, roosters along the beach were really good, too. Some blue marlin. And, of course, the tuna were not that out. There were tuna all around Ocho Ocho and around south and north. So it was, I could say it was really good fishing.
It's been, I don't know. You normally get like 3 inches of rain a year and you've got 3 weeks in a row. That's, everything must be green and beautiful.
Oh my God, yeah. Everything, just a drop of water comes in and everything starts getting, all the soil gets green and mountains get green, and it changes from a really desert,
almost tropical,
to a tropical, really nice area. So it's, really, really beautiful, nice setting. So it's quite different than we're accustomed to seeing. But anyways, coming up, we got the tuna shootout next week, October 13th. The first tuna shootout that we've sponsored, and see how it comes out. It's the biggest tuna wins the prizes. We don't have a car this year, but there's jackpots and there's lots of gifts to give away, and of course a trip to return back.
It's just a good excuse to fish, Chucky.
Yeah.
Well,
and we have several other small, Lynn Roasters have as a East Cape Classic, and of course we got the Salt Patrol tournament, and we got little tournaments coming up that are they're really fun to be in. And of course, I think you're coming November, right?
Yeah, and actually, Chuck, it looks like we have one room left, and that's arriving on November 2nd. Jeannie's going, maybe. And it's $495 for 2 days fishing, 4 nights accommodations, and then, of course, you're going to have to buy your meals and tips and stuff, but that includes most everything except your transportation. So if anybody's interested, they just need to send me a line at john@fishtalkradio.com. And how do we get in touch with Van Wormers?
It's very easy. They can log into your website. We've got a link right to you guys, or they can call 877-777-TUNA.
And what I will say, between now and January or the middle of December, the fishing is awesome and the weather is perfect. This is the time to get down there.
That's the time. That's you've got all these storms behind you, no chubascos.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and it's, you know, the water's still warm and the fishing's still hot, but the air temperature is very pleasant. Yeah. And then you can still warm enough to get in that infinity pool at the swim-up bar. Chucky, thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You betcha.
Adios.
Okay. We're going to jump across. Well, I guess we're going to go a little bit farther north up into the Bay Area. And we have Jenny at Drake's Bay and Point Reyes to give us a little bit of an idea what it's like in that area. And maybe we can get her to tell us a little bit about what she does up there, Jenny.
Hi. How's everybody doing now?
Oh,
there?
It just keeps getting better.
Good. Well, here we are right in Drake's Estero at Drake's Bay Oyster Farm, which is located right in the heart of Point Reyes National Seashore, about 40 miles north of San Francisco, just a day's drive from the city, and even from your area, it wouldn't be that far to go.
Well, so, anybody that's going to be visiting the West Coast, that sounds like a beautiful area to go there, but there's even a more special reason to go to Point Reyes. Fishing is good. It's beautiful up there. It's a great place to visit this time of the year. But there's also somebody up there that I think it has the second largest oyster farming in the United States. And who would that be?
Well, it would be in California. We're the second largest in California. We're the only shellfish farmer actually located in Point Reyes National Seashore. We're a small, protected, and underdeveloped watershed surrounds us. When someone comes out, they'll see what we're talking about here. Our farm contains California's finest shellfish water quality, and we are actually allowed to harvest year-round, and it's a fun place to come and visit. We have a quarter of a mile oyster shell road that leads you right down to old oyster farm buildings and to our docks.
Oh, cool.
They're almost 100 years old.
And I can order oyster shooters right there?
Well, you can make your own oyster shooters.
There you go.
We have picnic tables that surround the actual farm itself, and people come honestly by the thousands to visit us on an annual basis. You can do a couple of things. You can either stay right at the farm where we have picnic tables that are arranged throughout the facility, or you can actually grab your oysters and go to some of the ocean beaches or even Drake's Beach that are between 6 and 15 minutes from the oyster farm itself.
And what type of oysters and what size are they that you're growing?
Oh, good question. We have the Pacific oyster, which grows very well here on the West Coast. Many of the Washington, Oregon, and all of our area growers here do the Pacific oyster, and we harvest them at different sizes. We have the extra smalls, which are, I describe them using our hands. We use our pinky to describe the size of the meat of an extra small. Small is about the size of our thumb. Medium is about our two fingers. Large, about three fingers. And it just depends upon your palate as far as what size you'd like.
Oh, well, sounds good. I bring my Tabasco sauce.
I have to ask, you know, my favorite recipe for oysters is classic Oysters Rockefeller, but there's so many different things you can do with it. Do you prefer yours fresh or warmed up?
Well, I actually like them in all different ways. I love our extra smalls eaten raw. I'll put a little lemon or some of our mignonette that we have here. But it's pretty hard to pass up a barbecued oyster or a Rockefeller myself. We also have the last cannery left in the state of California, so we often sell jarred product. It's freshly shucked, packed, and on a daily basis, and we'll use those in stews and in soups.
Okay. So that would be when you go into a grocery store at the meat department, on ice they have these little jars of oyster. That's what you're talking about?
That's exactly what we're talking about. So we sell a 9-ounce to the grocery stores. Pints, quarts are often sold right here on the dock. We have our oyster shack that people are welcome to come to 7 days a week. And then we sell the half gallon to, it's a commercial size that we sell to restaurants throughout San Francisco, Marin, Sonoma, and Napa areas.
Well, I like them fresh, cold on ice, and just the taste of the seawater. That mm-hmm. is my favorite when they're really fresh.
And you will definitely taste the waters of this particular estuary. They are very, very beautiful.
And I'm a little bit curious. The oyster farm has been around for almost 100 years. Is that correct?
It has.
And when you grow them, from seedlings now, and I think they're attached to ropes that are in the water. Is that how it works?
That is how it works mm-hmm. out here. We honestly use a off-bottom Japanese-inspired hanging culture method that is used by less than 5% of any of the U.S. oyster farmers, and that does require labor-intensive hand harvesting, but it does result in a very ultra clean mm-hmm. oyster. So the oyster larvae is actually attached to a substrate, to a shell, to a recycled shell, and it grows as it suspends right in the waters. It's quite a process, and it's a fun process to see. And when you come to visit the farm, you can actually mm-hmm. ask for us to give you a little tour.
Is it possible? Do they still have the possibility with people can harvest wild oysters in that area?
Well, we never know exactly who's harvesting out there, if they're kayaking in these beautiful waters, but typically it's going to take a little bit more than just grabbing them off the reefs, because they are hanging from structures that are out in the estero itself.
Hmm. And do they have pearls?
Well, from time to time you'll find pearls. That's everybody's big question, and we do have some fun examples of those pearls. They're not exactly what you and I might put on a chain and hang around our neck, but there are some definitely pearls that are found from time to time.
Wow.
Well, I wear a freshwater pearl, and it doesn't look like anything mm-hmm. else, but looks like, yeah.
Yeah, well, some of the other fun things, once you do come to this area, Point Reyes Peninsula does jut out into the ocean about 15 miles further than any other part of the California coast. And if you come out to visit us at the Estero, it's another 15 or 20 minutes out to the Point Reyes Lighthouse, which will take you out to that
beautiful place. Jenny, we're gonna have to let you go, so let's find out how to get in touch with you. It's called
Drake's Bay Oyster Company.
Oyster Company, okay.
Yes. Our address is 1 Oyster Company Road, Sir Francis Drake Boulevard.
Okay.
And we look forward to anybody come and visit.
Okay, that's Drake's Bay Oyster Company. Okay, you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Jenny, we're going to have to get you on some more. We don't have enough time. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with Gene Sedar, and we're going to be right back with you.
Hey, woman. Getting young as this goat.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real-world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Got a touch of them fisherman blues. I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. Now let me tell you now.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Miss Jean Sedar, and we have on the line with us John from the premier website for everything you ever want to know or where to go about fishing, which is called Fishhound. John, give us an idea, if you don't mind, about some of the things that Fishhound is finding exciting in the world of fishing anywhere in the United States.
Hey, guys. I don't know if I have enough time to cover all the excitement.
Well, you got 2 minutes. Not a problem.
That is a daunting task. Why not start out in California and some lakes that we haven't talked about? Before some lesser-known lakes in the Northern California region, starting out at the Twin Lakes. The Twins are doing well for nice fish in the 1 to 2 pound range. Trolling near the inlets with needlefish and small rapalas have been good, as well as bait fishing with power bait, power eggs, and crawlers. As the water gets cooler, the cooler the fishing should keep better and better as it's up there. Another area in that vicinity is the Virginia Lakes. They are also fishing very well. Fly anglers are using seal buggers, woolly buggers, soft tackles, stillwater nymphs, zug bugs, and princes. I always love all the names of these.
I love that zug bug. It's one of my favorite ones from the old Hat Creek area.
Mm-hmm. If it's got a funny name, it usually catches the fish, right?
We are kind of getting into that time of the year where it's going to be, you know, the days are starting to get a little bit daylight, and then in a couple of weeks, of course, the daylight pretty much disappears. Is there any particular species that this is a good time to go after?
Oh, gosh, it really just depends on where you're at. People in the lower western hemisphere can generally fish throughout the year. And for those guys in the north, it's time to start shopping for that ice fishing gear.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that, and it sounds interesting. Maybe one of these days I'll try it, but I just never could get too excited about it. But the more I learn about it, the more interesting it becomes.
Yeah.
That, they actually do catch fish. And, of course, with some of those, it's not like you're sitting there like an Eskimo, all huddled up with a hole in the ice. They got some pretty fancy equipment.
Yeah, I've seen TVs and PlayStations out there.
Oh, my gosh.
That's really bringing technology closer to the fishing game than ever.
Mm-hmm. But, in the mountains and the streams and the lakes, the water is starting to cool off a little bit, so I'm assuming the fish are going to be coming up higher in the water column?
Yeah, that typically is the pattern. That fishing is, you have your openers and your closers that tend to be the best time for fishing, and especially for trout in the northern Sierras like California. You're going to have a pretty good weekend out there if you go around this time.
Yeah, and the colors. So, like I always say, fish don't live in ugly places.
That's true. John, let's just mention Fishhound real quick. It's kind of an unusual website that you guys have put together, because you've got apparently literally thousands of people that send you information from all over the United States and mostly, a lot of places outside the United States.
That's very true. We're unusually amazing. We are your one-stop shop for fishing reports, gear testing, content, you name it, we have it. Come check us out, www.fishhound.com.
Great job again. Thank you, John. We appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
You betcha.
Have a great day.
And speaking of lakes and some fall fishing, we have Spencer on the line with Lake Comanche. First of all, Spencer, let's find out where Lake Comanche is.
Lake Comanche, we're located right outside Island, California, which is about 45 minutes east of Sacramento.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like it would be kind of up in the gold country at the kind of the base of the western Sierras.
A little bit warm.
Yes, it's been warm the last couple of days. Yeah, this is actually the town of Comanche where the lake is located now. Used to be an old mining town.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah, but you still have cool waters, which makes it good for fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the cooler weather coming on now, we just have a couple more degrees cooler and we can start planting trout in our lake again.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. So what you said, the openers and the closers sometimes is the best, but you don't really close, do you?
No, we're actually a year-round lake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that makes it, what, a 5 trout limit on a year-round?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
5 per person.
Uh-huh.
So if anybody's, gotten the opportunity to go do some traveling around California in particular, then, the tourists are kind of starting to thin out a little bit. The water's cooling down. The sights are getting even more and more beautiful.
More colorful,
more
yes.
More colorful?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, the leaves are starting to change and getting ready to fall. It's really pretty around here right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to come and visit you, do you have any accommodations?
Yes, we do. We have campsites and RV sites and also cottages available.
Okay,
and
well.
As of October, all of our rates went down. Our general campsites now run $16 a night, Friday through Sunday. and $8 per night Monday through Thursday.
Wow, that's about a third. That's about a third of the price of a state park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really lower our prices during the off season, trying to entice more people to come out.
It's a great idea.
And you've got boats and tackle and everything else they need.
Yeah, down at the general store, down by the marina, you can rent any of our boats. We offer patio boats ranging from 8-person to 16-person.
Oh, those are fun. I just took one of those out this last weekend with a bunch of gals. That is a good time.
Yeah, they're a blast. You know, it's a great way to just go cruise around a lake and see all the sights we have around here.
Yeah, and you can still fish from them, can't you?
Yeah, you can fish. You can go swimming. We have swim ladders on if it's still warm enough.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
And then we also have a various selection of regular fishing boats, just with a small motor on them, and also deluxe fishing boats have a little bit bigger motor and a little faster.
Now, Spencer, you're part of the Cal Parks organization that operates, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 different lakes in California. But how do we get in touch with you in particular?
With me, myself? Or Lake Comanche?
Lake Comanche, yeah.
The best way would be to call our office, which would be 866-763-5121.
Okay, and your website is?
Our website is, what we got here?
Well,
it's ComancheRecreation.com.
ComancheRecreation.com. That's cool. What a great little visit that would be, the old ghost town and the beautiful colors and fishing and the boating. And sounds fantastic. Thank you, Spencer. We appreciate that.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thank you, Spencer. Jeannie, there's just too many things to do and not enough time.
There isn't, so that's why you have to make time. Yeah. Even little short getaways, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think you have to spend so much time prepping and getting somewhere, but I remember going on one of those Clover Pass resort trips with you and the Real Fun Adventure, and I just went, you know, in 5 hours, I was in Alaska. I got a bed and a boat.
And you're on the water.
I'm on the water, and what could be better than that? You know, it is not something that you have to plan for all year and wait and take you know, a week out. You could zoom on up for 3 or 4 days.
Right. And if people want to do some stuff, as I mentioned earlier, we've got one room left for the trip November 2nd to visit Chucky down there.
That would be tempting, except I'm going to be bass fishing in Louisiana. Sorry.
Well, you know, and people think that, you know, it has to be expensive. It really doesn't. I mean, our trip is $4.95 plus transportation and your meals.
And you don't have to make all the accommodations yourself, which, I mean, anytime you can reduce stress, I'm on it.
There you go. It's real easy. We'll even fix you up with a fishing partner if needed.
There you go.
Okay.
Perfect.
Well, give us more. You've been kind of alluding to some of the things that you've been doing. Give us a quick rundown.
Well, hey, you know, lately, I mean, what kind of fishing we've had? The coast of California, I got out and fished for the salmon twice. I mean, that was getting out and getting two fish and being back at a real estate listing appointment by 10:30 in the morning up north.
I mean,
that was just the best. And then, of course, the white sea bass are just outrageous. Friends of mine, you know, 50 pounders in their kayaks, rod and reel. Unbelievable fishing. And that's all along the Channel Islands along here. And then Crowley in the Eastern Sierra was just wide open. I had friends go up fly fishing. 100 fish caught and released between the two guys out on Crowley in a day. And so I went up and caught those cutthroat. And then this last weekend I was bass fishing. I heard the smallmouth bass were biting at the lake over the hill, Lake Kachuma here. So went out and caught some of those while we girls were on the pontoon. Mm-hmm. On the pontoon.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that. I know you're involved in. Is it part of the Becoming an Outdoors Woman? Is it this different group?
You know, it's a little bit different group. There's no charge for this, but I did start this the first year that I taught for Becoming an Outdoors Woman, 1998. And after that teaching experience, I said, you know, I could get some of my gal friends together and do the same thing at a spot nearby, and we chose Lake Kachuma. So I really, this is my challenge for all of you folks out there, guys, gals, teenagers, whatever. Put together a group of your close friends and then start your first annual and see how many years you can keep it going. We had our 14th annual. Every year we get together, last weekend in September, first weekend in October, one of those, set it aside, and we go camp out, you know, in your cars, in a tent, whatever, hang out at the campsite, get a pontoon boat, get a power boat. Kachuma has kayaks now, so we went kayaking one day for an hour or so. It's just fabulous, and those friendships, it's just a good way to stay connected, so I would suggest that too. anybody, get a group together like that, choose some spots, make it different, make it the same, whatever, but great memories.
And it doesn't have to be expensive.
No, no. Camped out, you know, just a lot of fun. We just bring a whole bunch of food. We said, we don't want to try to plan things too much. Just bring food. So I brought some of my salmon, pulled it out of the freezer and barbecued that up, fresh caught, that, you know, it was just great.
Maybe use some fresh fish.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Jeannie, I released the bass.
Okay. Well, anyway, this has been so much fun. We really appreciate you coming in today. It's always a pleasure to see your smiling face in here, and you get me enthused about going fishing.
Well, that's what I come for. That's why we're here.
Okay. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with Gene Sedar. And of course, you can find us at fishtalkradio.com. And we'll be back with you real soon. Thanks for tuning in.